Our guest today is Chaku Mathai, a nationally recognized peer advocate and peer support expert and current director of the NAMI STAR Center, one of the five national technical assistance centers funded by SAMHSA to support mental health systems transformation. Chaku was kind enough to spend a few minutes talking about the evolution of peer support in healthcare. He's also fresh off of delivering the late afternoon plenary address here at RLS. Chaku, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
I wanted to keep my intro short, so I didn't say a whole lot about all the different hats that you wear. I figured that I'd give you the honor of maybe telling us a little bit more about, you know, the many roads that you've traveled professionally.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you, first of all, and it's an honor to be here with you. So some of the work that I've done, I was the, previous to being the director of the STAR Center, I was the associate executive director for NYAPRS, which is the New York Association of Psychiatric Rehabilitation Services. And there we did a number of things. We launched peer service demonstration projects like the Peer Bridger Project. We launched a peer training project called the Recovery Facilitation Training Project. And what we did there is train providers all over New York State on what recovery-oriented practice looks like. And we have a whole, you know, run of advocacy campaigns that we accomplished across rights issues, employment, housing, peer support. These were all very important campaigns. So from a community organizing perspective, that was really important to me from the beginning. And, of course, you know, really started with peer support in the mid-80s.
Okay, this may already be a question you're tired of hearing, but how do you define peer support?
Well, very simply, actually, it's a way in which those of us with shared experiences have come together to do a few things. Sometimes it's about sharing those negative experiences that we've gone through and really validating those experiences with each other, while at the same time coming together to improve our lives and to really change the way our lives are going right now. So peer support has done a number of things across that spectrum.
Okay, so even though during your talk you delved into, you know, the history of peer support somewhat, it seemed that the bulk of your address was about, you know, the challenges that go with, I guess, the current level of professionalization that has marked peer support in the 21st century. And I was wondering if you might be able to say, you know, a few things about, you know, what you see to be pitfalls as peer support, you know, takes on more of the trappings of a professional discipline.
Sure. Well, it's first of all, I like the way you said it. I think that's certainly one of the issues, is that it's in becoming a discipline, there are trappings of a couple things. One is to want to protect the survival of that discipline in whatever way it looked upon entry into the system, or the way it's looking right now, as opposed to being able to evolve and grow and learn from itself and from the community you serve. So in any discipline, that's really an important feature. So that's one thing. But the other piece, to be honest, was that there's as part of a systems and social conditions kind of change process, peer support is social change at the end of the day. So if it's just about delivering services within a system and not about the actual social change that it reflects, that's what we were saying is the main trap, you know, that we might reenact the same kinds of help that we were here to change in the first place. So that's what I'm most concerned about, and that if we don't work to figure out how to do that within a new environment, these opportunities will just become short-term opportunities and not things we can sustain ourselves in.
Okay, I was struck by a quote from one of your slides. Mm-hmm. If you have come to help me, you are wasting your time. If you have come because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let us work together. Can you tell us about the provenance of this quote and in your opinion, how we ought to interpret it?
Okay, great. So this quote is from Emma Watson, who is an Aboriginal leader in Australia, And it came out at a time when apartheid in Australia was being challenged, and in the 60s and 70s, early 70s, and people came to her and the indigenous community and said, how can we help? And this was her immediate response. Well, if you've come to help me, you're wasting your time, but if your liberation is bound up with mine, then let's work together. And so what that means is that even though you may not share the same lived experience that I do, you might discover that there is some freedom that you are also pursuing that is related to mine, that is actually conditioned on my own, and that there's a need to work together. So in terms of interpreting it, there's some examples. So one is most immediately that I think of is within our families. Our family movement and our peer movement have been either at odds with extreme tensions or even at best running parallel to each other as opposed to collaborating. And that's been important to have a separatist, autonomous kind of experience for a while to really understand what the core values of each community are. But now there's a time to really look at how do we understand each other and recognize that shared liberation as well as how we're bound up together. You know, and so my culture, I'm Indian, the family isn't separate from me. I mean, my recovery was my family's recovery, and we needed to figure that out. So even at our level, that same process needed to occur. There was a lot of negotiation, you know, about what that means and a lot of shared decision-making about that.
Okay, I'm going to go off script a little bit and I think repeat a question that I actually asked you while we were chatting out in the hall. And it's about your, you know, your use of the word power during your presentation. And I don't know if it's just me who notices, but that word is a bit loaded, and you know, even amongst, you know, sophisticated people, you know, who are accustomed to, you know, speaking the language of systems transformation, blah blah blah, it can even give a little bit of a jolt. So in your opinion, you know, how does consciousness of power play into peer support?
Great question, and I think it's at the center of it in many respects. Power was, and the loss of power, I mean, the loss of our ability as individuals and as a movement to speak for ourselves was how we emerged in the first place, and the desire to reclaim that power. And the effort that we take to do that is both a part of our, it's part and parcel of our recovery process. There's no way to have a recovery process emerge without a recognition of my self-determination, my sense of power, my ability to use that power. And then as a leader or as a member of a peer support community or somebody who's trying to deliver peer support, to be conscious about my power and privilege, as well as my sense of marginalization and my sense of oppression, because those are all buttons that get pushed. And I might turn to my power when I'm just uncomfortable, or I might use my power instead of using relationship. You know, so if I'm not conscious of that, it'll get out from under me.
This is a question that I hope that I've worded as simply as I can, because it has multiple clauses.
Okay.
I can imagine that if a peer specialist is any good, that more and more responsibility would be placed upon her, even up to a level that her pay grade doesn't necessarily reflect. How can we ensure that peer specialist is not just a laudable use of one's time, but also a viable career, and that peer specialists aren't exploited, you know, as a source of cheap labor in the helping professions?
Wow, I'm so glad you raised that. It's actually one of the areas where I hope to get to. We just ran out of time. This is a great risk. We are at risk of exploitation. Because we want to be valued and utilized so much, we might be doing it to ourselves by, you know, allowing for contracts or opportunities to go just to get in the door. So the first risk is that, yes, we do need to come up with strategies to formally structure and value peer support at a financial level. And I did include that in some of the slides that we have, so we're going to talk more about that. And then there's also from a marketing and contracting perspective with groups like managed care, to get really concrete, when a state is starting to utilize managed care and Medicaid redesign initiatives, you're going to have an opportunity to do that with them and figure out what the value of your projects are, as well as with private, you know, sector managed care groups, health plans, and so forth. And so that's already started. So we need to start by valuing lived experience first, as well as the skill set that's associated with it, and then really be clear about what that business model looks like. So, and that's going to take some planning.
It was another of our presenters, Dr. Larry Davidson of SAMHSA, who, you know, who delved into the evidence base around recovery-oriented practices. But, you know, how often do you find yourself, I guess, responding to more skeptical voices, you know, around the issue of whether or not things like peer support have enough of an evidence base or enough of an empirical foundation, you know, to justify, you know, the strong push that it's getting?
Oh, I find that all the time, and I welcome it. I think that's the conversation we want to have. I think on two levels, we want to demonstrate the research and the evidence and the empirical data that we already do have. So that exists right now at program evaluation levels. It exists at the beginning levels of higher research standards initiatives that exist with certain initiatives of best evidence base and peer support. So it's certainly there to talk about. But there's also the opportunity to talk about the research that we need. And all, you know, the whole system really is, you know, needing that, whether it's, you know, cultural brokering or the work of community health workers, or, I mean, there's all, every new initiative of some sort is run into that issue, and we shouldn't shirk from it. We should be willing to step into those opportunities, consult with research programs, you know, suggest research to the patient-centered outcomes research initiative, things like that.
Another point from your talk, social identity and its role in systems transformation. Could you say a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So the first point is that we have intersecting social identities. None of us come from just one narrative or social identity. Our identities get pushed forward based on the power and privilege that we find them in, actually, in many respects. Sometimes a narrative is more valued, so we push that forward. Another identity is less valued, so we hide that. What we need to learn is actually that, back to that Emma Watson quote about shared liberation that's bound up with each other, is to actually discover our intersecting social identities, be able to be aware of how the power and privilege and marginalization that's related to each come together, and we're going to be a much more diverse and organized and excited community. We're going to be more involved in community because of that. We're not going to just be stuck in a silo over here. We're going to support other movements. So the addiction recovery community, just to give a real concrete example, is going to be able to support the mental health recovery community and vice versa in that respect.
I promised I'd try to get you out of here in 15 minutes. I have just one more question.
No,
is there anything else going on in your world or within the world of peer support, or, you know, to whatever degree those intersect, probably a lot, that you would like for folks to know about?
Sure. Well, so first of all, with the STAR Center, I'd really encourage people to go to the website at consumerstar.org and see we have a number of webinars that we've already done and a community of practice on collaborative action and leadership. And that's really about how to be the kind of leader that does just what we talk about, really come from a place of consciousness with power and privilege, bring leadership forward that brings multiple diverse identities together and works towards collaborative action in your community around that. So that's a real challenge, and it requires a facilitative leadership style that we don't naturally come to all the time. And that we really need to share our experiences with to learn. So that's one. And then the other is to really, there's internationally, all across the world now, lived experience leadership is something that's on our minds, and we're working with leaders from across the globe to really talk about not the role of leadership, but the action of it and what that means in our work.
Chaku, thank you for speaking to us here at RLS, and thank you for speaking to me.
Thank you, Ike.
And I very much look forward to seeing what else you've got up your sleeve as far as, you know, your very interesting and much lauded advocacy in the world of peer support. So thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Before we close, I have an important announcement. The Hogg Foundation has recently launched a new website called Mental Health Daily. It is a summary or a roundup of the latest mental health news from around the country and internationally. And it essentially expands upon the subscription e-newsletter by the same name that the foundation has been putting out for the last few years. We're encouraging everyone to check it out and let us know what they think. The website address is mhdaily.org. Lots to look at, lots of great content, and our hope is that, you know, it becomes one of the go-to places on the internet for news pertaining to mental health. So have a look and just let us know what you think. And that does it for this edition of Into the Fold. I'm Ike Evans of the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health. Thanks so much for joining us.